Well, our text this morning in Luke chapter 11, and we'll be continuing it the next Sunday, it contains kind of the outline of a very awkward lunch conversation. Jesus had been invited to the home of a Pharisee, who is, of course, a respected leader. Now, when we think of the word Pharisee, those kind of ideas of respect maybe don't come up as much when we think about Pharisees. We think about people who are holier than thou. We think about people who are hypocrites, right? But this is not the way it was when Jesus walked on the earth. The Pharisees were very respected people in Jewish society. They came from the common people, just like Jesus. They weren't educated elites like the Sadducees were. These were common people. They were leaders in the synagogues throughout the land. They're calling Jewish people back to the scriptures, to live by the scriptures and not to cave into the corruption and the pagan influences of the Romans who had invaded their land at this time. And so there was a lot of respect. The people valued the Pharisees as among the holiest of all people in Israel. And you might think in your own mind, just to kind of set the scene here, you might think of some religious teachers today who have had a great impact, who have meant the most to you. I won't name names, but all of us have names of spiritual teachers who we've benefited from greatly in our lifetime, some of whom are, national and international speakers and authors who have a large, wide influence. Some are just local, faithful pastors and shepherds who have taught us the scriptures and helped to ground us in the faith. But in our mind, when we hear their name, it immediately causes us just kind of a spirit of respect. And we respect these people for their integrity and for their character and for their authority. And that's how people viewed the Pharisees in the first century. Now, Jesus in this conversation, to say the least, speaks very directly. In fact, here in Luke 11, as well as over in Matthew chapter 23, are some of the most frank, excoriating words that Jesus uses against the religious leadership. In fact, if we were sitting at the table during this conversation, we may have had our heads down, and we might have been kind of moving things around on our plate with our fork, maybe kind of awkwardly clearing our throat and trying not to make eye contact with Jesus. You've been in conversations like that before, right? It was a very, very awkward conversation, but it's a very, very important conversation for us to listen in on, because I believe that we are often tempted by the same temptations which the Pharisees and the lawyers, the scribes, which we'll look at next week, that they were tempted. I don't think that we're above these temptations either. And so what Jesus has to say is not just relevant to religious hypocrites that lived 2,000 years ago. What he has to say is very relevant to us, and it's very timely. So what do you think Jesus might say if he came to lunch at your house today? What would Jesus say as he sat around the table? What words would he say to you, knowing who we are? It's a fairly stimulating conversation here that we've got going on. This Pharisee, who's a respected religious leader in his town, he's invited other respected religious leaders as well to this luncheon, and it's kind of a rather formal occasion, and it appears that Jesus he's just hardly started his meal when this conflict arises. And how do I put this? Jesus unloads on them, okay? The Pharisee notices that Jesus has started eating without first engaging in the ritual washing, the ceremonial hand cleaning, which was standard for the Pharisees. And remember, the Pharisees were considered to be the people who were, they cared the most about keeping God's law, especially what we would call the ceremonial law of the Old Testament. But the Pharisees went even beyond that, as we'll see. And this Pharisee criticizes Jesus because he hasn't washed before he started eating. And this Pharisee is considering Jesus' action as something that is a complete lack of respect for God's word and for the pursuit of holiness. And he's amazed, he's astonished, the text says, that Jesus would not do this. And so he draws attention to it, and Jesus responds very directly, very emphatically to him. Now understand something. Before we jump in the text here specifically, understand that this ritual washing that the Pharisee was upset about is not commanded by the Word of God. You can go back to the Old Testament, read about all these, you know, these little tiny details that the Jews had to keep in the law. You won't find this. This was an addition. This was something that had been added. This is something that was developed by the Pharisees. What they did is the Pharisees were famous for this. They would take that ceremonial part of the Old Testament law and they would improve on it. as some people have said, they would build a hedge around the law with these extra commandments so that you wouldn't accidentally break the real law of God. So they would put these extra barriers, these extra hedges around the law of God. Well, unfortunately, it was addition to God's word. And when we add to God's word, the next thing you know, we take away from God's word. And that's exactly what happened to the Pharisees. They thought they were improving on God's word when in reality, what they were doing was actually undermining the word of God in their lives. And Jesus is going to make this crystal clear to them. Now, there's a lot here in this passage, but don't miss the main point. The main thing that Jesus says, excuse me, to the Pharisees and to these lawyers that we'll look at next week, the main thing he says is that they were hypocrites. They cared a great deal about external righteousness, how they looked on the outside, but their hearts were not marked by real righteousness. Look at what Jesus says in verse 39. He says, "Now you Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness." And then look down at verse 41. Jesus says, "But give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you." This is Jesus' constant critique of the Pharisees throughout his earthly ministry. They cared a lot about looking holy, but they didn't show a concern to be holy on the inside from their hearts. They cared a lot about greetings, you know, as they walked around. They cared a lot about how people would greet them. I don't know what they used, you know, hello, Reverend, or you know, hello, great one, or I don't know exactly what they said to the Pharisees, but they loved to be greeted in the marketplace, and they loved to have the best seats in the synagogue. And if you know anything about the Jewish synagogue, there was a row of seats across the front. It'd be like we have a row of seats up here on the platform facing the congregation, and the Pharisees loved to sit in those seats, so that everyone could see them and see their external appearance, that they dressed and looked holy. But in fact, in their hearts, as Jesus will point out, they're not. They're empty. They're rotting, actually, in their hearts. And if the heart's not right, everything's wrong. And Jesus is indicting the Pharisees. He is saying, you care a lot about looking holy. You care a lot about being respected for being religious. You care a lot about that, but in fact, you're a hypocrite. Because you care more about what other people think than you do about what God knows about your heart. And so you try and put on appearances and you want to look holy, but in fact, you are hypocrites. Now, it'd be easy for us to join in and throwing stones at the Pharisees this morning, right? It's always easy for us to do that. But I want to suggest to you that this is not a temptation that we are immune of. Because most of us want to look like Christians too, if we're honest. Even the fact that we're here today, this morning, points to the fact that most of us want to be thought of as Christians. We want people to know we're Christians, even by our presence here. But often our concern is to look on the outside in a way that we're not, in fact, on the inside. Wouldn't that be something if we all came dressed this morning as we really were on the inside? I wonder what we would look like. You probably wouldn't want to see me up here in the pulpit, and I'm sure I wouldn't want to see you down there in the pews either. And so we're tempted to this kind of religious hypocrisy. It looks spiritual, it looks religious, it looks Christian, but sometimes in our heart, it's not so well reflected. We're not loving the Lord our God with all of our hearts and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength and our neighbor as ourself. And in fact, in our hearts, often we love the world as much as we do the next person. And so Jesus' words, I think, are very, very relevant for us too. Think about it, Heather Hills. Do we care more about looking religious or looking Christian than we do about having a living relationship with a living God by faith in Jesus Christ? Does our love for God and our trust in Jesus Christ, does it fuel everything else? Or is the heartbeat of our life found in something other than God, other than the gospel, other than the Lord Jesus? Some of us, and I'm guilty, all of us are guilty of this at times, but some of us, we like to have a little box in our life, you know? A little shelf where Jesus and the gospel and church, it fits into our life in this little box. We want it to be a part of our lives. But it's not the heartbeat of our lives. And I want us to continue examining our own hearts, even as we look in these verses at Jesus' message for the Pharisees, because so often we can be tempted in these same ways. So let's look briefly at these verses. First of all, in verse 37, we see that the Pharisee sets for himself his own standard of holiness. And the first thing this Pharisee does when Jesus comes over to lunch is he judges Jesus of falling short of man-made standards of holiness. Luke is recording for us here one of the marks of a Pharisee, and which is he will set up his own standards of holiness. And notice, any time when there is a substitute set of commands for the actual commands of God's word, it's always less than the commands that God gives. The Pharisees, what they do is they scale down God's demands to make them easier for us to do. And so they set up their own standard of holiness. Because the fact of the matter is, can we do the law? You should remember this from Romans, right? Can we do the law? We can't. And that's the purpose of the law, is to show us we can't do it. We need help. We need someone else's righteousness because our righteousness is not gonna get it done. And what the Pharisees would do is they would invent all of these man-made standards that they could do. Things that they could point to and say, I do this and this and this and this and this and this, and so I'm holy. We do this sometimes too, don't we? For example, have you ever You ever looked at another Christian and judged that Christian, not because they broke a clear commandment that the Bible teaches, but because they didn't do something that you think a Christian ought to do, or they did something that you think a Christian ought not to do? Your list. Your man-made rules. You ever done that? I have. Listen, brothers and sisters, God doesn't allow us to set the standards for one another. We don't need our own list. We don't need our own book of rules. He's already given us one. This is it. Jesus says here, this is the first mark of a Pharisee. A Pharisee sets up his own standard of holiness. It's always less than God's standard. And he measures other people against his man-made standard of holiness. Well, Jesus' initial response to the Pharisee here, look at is very blunt. Look at the verse here. He says, "You Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but you don't do it on the inside." And pay attention to the word that Jesus says here in verse 41, because if you understand this again, you'll understand everything else that he says in this passage. When Jesus says, "Give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you." In other words, if you worship God from the inside out, if you worship God from your heart, and you offer to God a clean heart, a holy heart, then everything else will be clean. But if you simply try and look good on the outside and you cover up the sin on the inside, you're fooling yourself. You're a hypocrite. Notice secondly, the same passage here, verses 39 to 41. Notice that Pharisees don't even understand the nature of true holiness. He responds to the Pharisee who's accused him of falling short of the standard of holiness by telling Jesus, in fact, he tells the Pharisee, in fact, that he totally misunderstands the nature of holiness. And remember in this passage here that the Pharisee doesn't actually, it doesn't say that he actually comes out and rebukes Jesus verbally, right? It says he's astonished. So whether he had some kind of amazement on his face, or whether he gasped, or whether he just thought it in his heart, we don't know for sure. But what we do know is that Jesus knows what's in the mind of man. He knows what's in the heart of man, and Jesus rebuked him, and that may have astonished him even more if he didn't say anything about it. The Pharisees care more about the appearance of holiness than the reality of holiness. And the Pharisee wants to look holy. He wants to look holy so that he can feel holy. And we're guilty of this sometimes too. Sometimes we're guilty of, if we just look the right way and act the right way and we say the right words, then we think we're okay. We feel good about ourselves. If we just come to church every Sunday, we feel like we're good enough for God. We're doing the things that we're supposed to do on the outside. And it's true that we are supposed to gather together as God's people. But if it's only on the outside, then the heart on the inside may not be changed at all. We just bought a new computer for our sound booth, and it was part of our harvest offering from last fall, and it's an upgrade, and we got a great deal online, and it was a refurbished computer, so we got more of a computer than we would have paid with a new price. Well, the computer gets here, and We're getting it installed and hooked up, and for some reason I can't get it onto the network, the church network, and keep trying, and I start researching, I'm looking up stuff and trying to figure out why can we not hook this computer on to the network? It's such an easy thing to do, to hook a computer onto the network, and I'm struggling, I'm wrestling with this, and I get on the phone with a person from Dell, and we're talking about this, and we're trying different things I had already tried before, and nothing's working, and finally we come to the conclusion there's a hardware issue. And so we send the computer out to the factory. We got it back on Friday. I hooked it up, and guess what? It works. You know, on the outside, this computer looks amazing. It's shiny. It's got a big screen. It's got all the bells and whistles. It's brand new looking. But on the inside, it was no good. And it can be the same way with us in our lives. It's something like the picture that Jesus is painting here with this Pharisee. Pharisees care an awful lot about how things look on the outside, the appearance of holiness, but they don't get to the deep down inside issues of the heart. They care more about appearing holy than being holy. And friends, Jesus is more concerned about who you are than about what you do. And that's a misunderstanding so many places in the Christian world. Third, look in verse 42. Notice this. Jesus says the Pharisees major on the minors, and they neglect the more important thing. They neglect the majors. Look what he says. You tithe mint and rue and every herb and neglect justice and the love of God. Do you understand what they're saying here? These Pharisees don't just tithe from their income. They're not just giving 10% of their money. They're tithing everything. They're tithing, they're giving 10% of their mint leaves, their spices. They're counting it out and they're giving 10% of their spices to the Lord. Now, you're going to find that in the Old Testament law? Nope. It's not there. They've added to it. Why? So they can feel that they're holier than everybody else who maybe only gives tithing from their income. Well, they go so much further, so they must be so much holier. Why in the world would the Pharisees be doing this? Friends, we're guilty of the same thing. We do this so many times in our life. They wanted to focus on something that they're able to do. And so they feel holy because they've concentrated on this tiny little thing that they're able to do. And in doing that, they've ignored these massive gaps in their character. One commentator, William Hendrickson, said this: rigid insistence on trivial matters is very often a cover for inner sin. This is so true, brothers and sisters. A rigid insistence on trivial matters is very often a cover for inner sin. You meet someone who is all concerned about the color of the carpet, you know? Or you meet someone that's all nitpicky about this little thing, and this is their hobby horse, and this is their pet peeve, and this is what they jump on over and over and over. It characterizes when they come walking down the hallway towards you, you think, oh, I'm going to avoid them or else this is going to come up. This little trivial, silly thing that's not in the law, it's not a part of the scriptures, and yet it's what they make a major deal and expect everyone else to as well. Brothers and sisters, this is the mark of a Pharisee. This is the mark of a hypocrite. This is the mark of someone who is actually hiding deeper and major sin in their own lives. How often have you seen that in your own life? How often have you seen that? I've seen that in my life. So the Pharisee focuses on all the minutiae, all the trivial things, but they neglect the weighty things, the major things of the faith. Look at verse 43. Pharisees love reputation rather than real holiness. In other words, they care more, they not only care more about appearing holy than being holy, but they care more about others thinking that they appear holy than actually being holy. These people care more about what other people think than about what God thinks. And we see that, look in verse 43 when it says, you love the best seat in the synagogues and the greetings in the marketplace. Why? Why do they love it? Because when they're greeted with a special title, or when they're treated as if they're better than other people, then they're more godly than other people, it makes them feel good. They feel holy even though they're not. And Jesus says that's the mark of a Pharisee. He cares more about what others think than what God thinks. Oh, we're all guilty of this too, aren't we? Aren't we? Aren't we tempted by this? Oh, I know pastors and teachers are certainly tempted by this. Oh, when you're standing out in the hallway at the end of a service and people are coming by, what do you want to hear? Oh, that was a great sermon, Pastor. Oh, wow, you have elevated my understanding to new heights of glory. Oh, I've never seen that before in the text, and you brought it out. And we think, yes, I did. Yes, I did. And we're Pharisees. When we care more about what other people think about us than what God thinks about us. And then finally, look at verse 44. And we'll continue with this text next week. But look at verse 44. Here Jesus says that Pharisees appear holy on the outside, but they are certainly not on the inside. And it's an interesting thing that he says here. He says, you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without knowing it. Now, in order to understand this, you need to know what's going on here in the Jewish culture a little bit. The Pharisees were fanatics about not touching dead bodies or not coming into contact with things that had been touched by dead bodies. Now, this was a part of the law. This was part of the ceremonial part of the law. If you came in contact with a dead body or you touched something that had, like, you know, somebody dies and you get their shoes or their suit jacket or something and you wear it. Well, in the Jewish time, you're unclean, okay? You're unclean if you do that. And what does unclean mean? It means you've got to leave the camp for a period of time. There were reasons for that, but this was very important. And the Pharisees were meticulous about this. They were fanatics about this. And what the Pharisees would do is they would go around to graveyards and they would mark the graves clearly. So, you know, they didn't always have, you know, big, you know, headstones like we have, you know, today, or big monuments to people. You know, a lot of times people were just kind of buried. And the Pharisees would go around, and everywhere they knew where people were buried, they would mark it. And the reason they would mark it is so that, you know, somebody's not walking along and accidentally, whoop, steps on the grave, on the top of the grave, and then all of a sudden, you know, the Pharisees would say they're unclean. Now, of course, the Bible doesn't say if you step on grass that's above a grave that you're ceremonial unclean. That's not in the law, okay? That's an addition again to the law. But this is what the Pharisees would do. And remember, this was shocking when Jesus would walk around. You remember? Remember when Jesus would walk around and who was that in the widow of Zarephath? Do you remember that when there's this big funeral procession coming out of the city and Jesus has this huge crowd that's been following him and the two crowds meet? And do you remember what Jesus does? He stops the funeral procession and he reaches up and he touches the stretcher that the dead body is being carried on. Well, just by Jesus doing that, ceremonially, according to the Pharisees, unclean. But of course, just the opposite happened, right? Jesus made not only the whole thing clean, he made the dead body come back to life. Right? Jesus can reverse the curse, and that's the point of that. But Jesus was great about doing this. So what Jesus is saying to them, when you understand that, this is a big indictment. This is in your face, Pharisees. Because this is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, hey, you're all about these unmarked graves, you know, and marking them, and you're fanatical about that. Guess what? You are the unmarked graves. Because you act like you're holy on the outside, when in fact, you're not on the inside. And in other passages, remember, Jesus tells the Pharisees they're like sepulchers, they're like tombs filled with dead man's bones. That's the whole idea here, too, that Jesus is saying. Everybody who comes in contact with you is contaminated by your sin. So this is a stinging rebuke that Jesus is giving to the Pharisees here. They look like they're holy, but they are not. They are corrupting others because of their hypocrisy. And think about it. If you're corrupt, then you're incapable of helping other people to become holy. If you're a hypocrite, you're incapable of helping other people achieve real holiness. And if you're corrupt and hypocritical, it doesn't matter what you try to do in other people's lives, it will produce corruption and hypocrisy. And Jesus is saying, that is you, Pharisees. You who are so careful, you're the unmarked graves. You're unclean. You're corrupt. So that's the beginning of a lunch conversation. And see, it doesn't get any better next week as we continue, because one of the scribes, the lawyers, as the ESV calls them, one of the lawyers is going to pipe up and say, Jesus, the words that you're saying, you're kind of insulting us too. And Jesus basically says, uh-huh. And then he goes, woe to you, woe to you, woe to you. So he's got some more things to say at this luncheon. It's pretty confrontational. All right, well, let's close here this morning. Let me ask the praise team to come back to the front. We're going to sing. Let me just remind you, as they're coming, what is the answer to the Pharisees' problem and our problem when it comes to hypocrisy? What is the answer? The only remedy to hypocrisy and self-righteousness is the gospel. The fact that we have all rebelled against God in sin and pride. We've all decided to worship ourselves rather than God. And as a consequence, we become idolaters. And we are under God's just judgment. And in response to that, we can't pretend like we're not sinners. And we can't cover up ourselves. And we can't save ourselves. We can't get ourselves out of that predicament. What do? We look to what God has provided in the gospel, in the good news. We look to Jesus. By faith, we trust in Jesus Christ, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Those who are born again, those who are rescued from their sin, we are saved from the just judgment of God, and we turn away from our sin in repentance, and we turn to Jesus in faith for salvation. And then God does a miraculous thing by his Spirit. He works in our lives, and he helps us to deal with this ongoing issue of sin, and this ongoing issue of pride, and this ongoing issue of hypocrisy that we struggle with just as the Pharisees did. But sin cannot be dealt with in the superficial, outward ways that the Pharisees attempted to deal with it in this passage. It didn't work for them, and it won't work for you, brother and sister, friend that's here this morning. The fundamental point Jesus is making is that the Pharisees did not understand the sinfulness of their own sin, and they always went to the wrong solution. They always tried to better themselves, to save themselves, created their own list of rules that they could keep. None of it was sufficient. How about you? How about me? Are we people who can really say that we know our sins and then deal with those sins, not by excusing them, not by minimizing them, not by denying them, not by trying to cover them up, not by doing rituals, not by going to church, but we deal with those sins in the only way that they can be dealt with, and that is by running to the cross of the Lord Jesus and saying, Lord, I am unclean. I am an unmarked grave. I am a hypocrite. I am sinful. I cannot clean myself up. Only you can clean my heart. Only you can clean the inside of me. And you do that through your Son Jesus, who is my only hope. I pray the Lord will help us this morning to see ourselves as we really are. not by what we do, not by what we look like, but as we really are. And also that we would see our Savior for who He really is. So let's stand together. We'll sing in response to God's word and then continue on with our worship this morning.